Once this coronavirus is over, I advise all of you to take a pilgrimage down to D.C. to the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, the National Shrine. And a gorgeous church there, and in the back you'll see the apse mosaic of Jesus Christ the King. And he stands arms up, displaying his power over the whole universe. But underneath that apse and that mosaic, you have the mysteries of the rosary in mosaics underneath in different side altars. And it's interesting, in those mosaics, you have a pairing of the mysteries of the rosary, the New Testament stories, with an Old Testament story. When we come to the finding in the temple, the fifth joyful mystery, we have Jesus standing in the midst of the elders, displaying his wisdom as the Son of God. And right beside it, in the parallel scene from the Old Testament, is the scene that we have today of Daniel speaking to the elders of Israel, judging these two old men, these two scribes, who are falsely accusing Susanna. Now, in this scene, we can see the clear connection that Daniel, the young boy Daniel, is an image, a prefigurement, a preview of Jesus, the Savior. As we've gone on in Lent, we've seen different themes pop up, haven't we, in different sections of Lent. But Lent started off with a very sense of purification. We have examine our consciences, examine our lives, especially the aspect of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And then we move in the last 3 weeks to a very baptismal character with the three readings on Sundays of the woman at the well, the man born blind, and the raising of Lazarus. And all the readings during the week help us focus on those readings and the themes of being reborn in baptism. And right now we start to move into a different part of Lent that focuses our attention on the passion, Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. But it would almost seem, if we look to the readings, like we're returning to our first couple weeks, to this examination of conscience, especially with the sin of lust. But if we look deeper, and that's why I highlight those two images in the National Shrine of Daniel being an image of Christ, what can leap off the page if we really pray with these readings is that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the one who saves us. And he does it in our readings today in multiple ways. As we look back at the readings, look back at our first reading, this long reading. I know it's long, and I was telling Father Eric and the seminarians last night, I'd much rather all of you hear the word of God than me. I'd much rather you hear the words of Jesus, the words of God. But we have Susanna say, right as she's accused, "I am completely trapped." And my friends, how often do we feel this? And let's put three different ways of feeling trapped out there, of needing a Savior. One is like Susanna, being falsely accused. And we can be falsely accused in our human relationships. We can be falsely accused in our jobs, in our work, perhaps even in our families, among one another. We are broken. And in our woundedness, we can manipulate each other. We can trap each other. I see this all the time, and it is a terrible scourge that we do this to one another. And yet in our brokenness and woundedness, we do this. And if we are the recipients, we can feel trapped. Lord, I don't know what to do. I am, her Susanna's prayer. Eternal God, you know what is hidden and are aware of all things before they come. You know that they have testified falsely against me. We know that we can be falsely accused sometimes, and we need a Savior. But another way in which we are falsely accused is by our spiritual enemy, the devil. Demons are real. Discouragement, despair, doubt, these are real, and these spirits can sit in our hearts, in our minds, and discourage us, push us down, beat us. I feel like the finger, the accusatory finger of the evil one can come at us. The oppression of lies of the evil one can bring us down, can make us feel heavy and oppressed. And we cry out, as Suzanne does, Lord God, you know that I am being falsely accused. I have done nothing wrong, and yet I am oppressed. I need a Savior. And lastly, but certainly not least, my friends, we turn to our gospel. And one of my favorite passages of the whole Bible, the woman caught in adultery. My friends, how many of us could have ever cast a stone? We are all with sin. Yes, in certain instances of life, we are innocent. But none of us is truly innocent before the face of God. We are all sinners and deserve punishment. And yet, Jesus comes to us as a Savior, even in our sin. Maybe most especially in our sin. That is why the Savior of the world came, to save us. He is our Savior. And we hear those marvelous words. This is how Jesus handles sin, any sin. And we are to learn from this. We are to have this penetrate deep into our hearts. He says to the woman, where are they, your accusers? Has no one condemned you? She replied, no one, sir. Then Jesus said these marvelous saving words, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. We need a Savior, my friends. We are broken. We are oppressed, falsely accused by so many forces. We are, and in our sin, we are oppressed and beaten down. And all of our readings point to Jesus, point to our Savior, the one that we need to know saves us. And it's interesting, a little detail, just to really highlight where that salvation is going to come. It says it in the first line, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. If we read our scripture commentaries, it tells us that this is the only reference to the Mount of Olives outside of the Passion narratives. Jesus's agony in the garden all the way through his suffering and death. John is explicit here. This scene is to be taken in light of the power of the cross. The cross is the definitive answer to our sin, to the accusatory attacks of one another and the devil. We need a Savior, and our Savior gave us the grace to be raised up and to be given joy and salvation on the cross. And Jesus is that Savior. My friends, we need to know two things this morning. The first and foremost is that we need to be convicted of the fact that we need a Savior. And we need to experience in our bodies, in our lives, in our hearts, that we are saved in various ways. So often that salvation can remain only in our heads, intellectual knowledge. My friends, do you know that you are saved? Have you had an experience of the salvation of Jesus Christ in your life? At this Mass, ask him for such an experience. Throughout this Lent, leading up to Easter, ask him for such an experience. We need to know that Jesus is our Savior. And there are little moments in life, and little moments of salvation, that can display to us the greater knowledge that our sins are taken away, and that the gates of heaven are thrown open to us. That's our first insight that we take away. And the most important, our second insight flows from it, and we cannot enter into the second step if we do not know that we are saved by Jesus. The second step is that we need to give this salvation or be an image of this salvation to others, to tell them, go to Jesus. He is the one that sets you free. And we can do this by learning from Jesus in the gospel. I absolutely love Jesus' response to this woman. Woman, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. In our world, we do not understand these words. We often, in our humanness and brokenness, we swing to two sides. We either approach people and we just don't condemn them. Neither do I condemn you, but just go and do what you want. Just go ahead and keep sinning. We don't say that explicitly, but like to each his own. You just keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to do what I'm doing. I'm not going to condemn you. Others of us swing to the other side. Go and sin no more. And we say it with this accusatory, this condemning tone. We don't emphasize the Lord's mercy, but rather his call to conversion. And in our voices, there can be this accusatory attitude. Jesus saves us in a certain way, two-step process, in a certain order. Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Change your life. This is what we must learn from, to take the words and actions of Jesus and have it penetrate into our lives, to take it out to others. That people should encounter us and the mercy we show them. And it should redound back, should be an image back, a mirror back to the mercy of Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. Do you know that? Have you experienced that? Jesus, send us your Spirit this morning and throughout this Lent, that we may know that we are saved in you, and that this salvation needs to be renewed in us day by day, and we are led from the moments of salvation in daily life to the salvation of heaven in you.